Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Well, this morning, we're continuing our series, The Point of Pain. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll also have it on the screens in just a moment. Let me just read these. Let me just start out by just reading the text to you, and then we'll jump in. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul writes, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you, and we come before you recognizing that we need you to speak, that in and of ourselves, by our own doing, by our own wisdom, by our own understanding, we can't understand what you want to say to us. But we know that by your Spirit, by your enlightening, you give us that understanding. And so, Father, we ask for that wisdom and for that understanding. I pray you'd get me out of the way and it'd just be you, just be your word, just be you and your power. And, Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. And especially, God, I pray that you'd speak to those hearts that are about to lose heart and maybe going through some difficult times. And may be weary and tired. And Father, I pray that especially this morning, by your word, you would speak to those individuals. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. We all face that, those times, those seasons. And it's interesting because you can be under stress, you can be under pressure, and you can be under that to the point that you reach this moment where you say, is this really worth it? Or is this all there is? Or how long, God, is this going to go on? Or God, is there any other way out of this? Or God, this is more than I bargained for. I remember I guess it's still there, to the best of my memory. On a wall in my parents' home, there's a print, a painting of a really grizzled, weathered cowboy. My dad loved it. And we only found out later with some editing. The caption was, there were a lot of things they didn't tell me when I signed on with this outfit. And he's just so grumpy looking. And my dad said, that's the way it is with life. There's just a lot of things that they just don't tell you when you come into the world. It's just a lot of things, a lot of struggles, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pressures, a lot of things that happen that you just didn't anticipate. And a lot of times in the midst of struggle, we find that we get really disheartened. We get really tired. We get exhausted. And we just say, maybe I should just give up on all this. Maybe there's an easier way. Well, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And Paul is in the context, he's talking to them about the struggles that he's facing in ministry and the struggles that he's faced in life and the things that he has faced since he's been following Christ, and more specifically to this context, the things as an apostle, as one who is sent by God representing Christ, the things that have pressured him, the things that have come upon him. And he starts this passage by saying, we don't lose heart. So this morning, if you're at that place where the pressure has gotten so great, in whatever context, if it's vocationally or relationally or financially or spiritually, emotionally, within your family, whatever it is that's going on, if you're at that point that you're saying, you know what, it'd just be easier just to walk. It'd be easier just to walk away from this. It'd be easier just to give up and throw up my hands and say, you know what, I can do something far easier than this, far better than this. Let me encourage you to just listen to what Paul says. Because in this passage, Paul gives three points of contrast. And there's three major contrasts that he gives, and we're going to look at them in just a moment. And it shows us, in Paul's words, why we shouldn't lose heart. The first one is this. The inner self outlives the outer self. The inner self outlives the outer self. That's the first contrast, contrasting the inner self and the outer self. Notice what he says in verse 16. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Our outer self, our body, our outer lives, it is wasting away. It is deteriorating. We know this as we get older. But then he says our inner self is being renewed day by day. So not only is Paul facing the ravages of aging, but also all the things that he had to endure that affected him, that wore him down, that broke him down physically, that exhausted him, that in some cases injured him. And this is a natural part of what happens. We find that our outer self is wasting away. I had to go to the eye doctor the other day. And because I found that companies, and this is their prerogative, but companies have been, in the last couple of years, clearly printing labels with less ink and smaller font. I don't know what it's about. Probably a cost-saving measure. But I noticed that you know, this was going on. And it progressively, I mean, they're evidently skimping a lot on it because I had to go get my prescription changed. And I was sitting there, and he kept saying, and you know how it is. You feel really nervous. It's like a test. You know, it's like one, two, or no change. And you're like, let me see two again. Two, one, two, no change. Or three. And then we put another option in. I hope I get this right, you know. And so those of you with performance, you know, you're performance-oriented, you know what I'm talking about. And we got down to, he just told me, he said, look, this is what we're coming down to. Either I can give you vision from a certain point out in front of you on out, or I have to cheat it inward so you can read closer. So I said, well, let's try the on out thing first. So I tried that. It was like superhuman. It was amazing. It's like I am seeing things out in the distance. I mean, like a chipmunk wink at 300 yards. I can see this. It's fascinating. But I couldn't read a label. And I couldn't even see what was on my phone without holding it out, right? And so I'm thinking, okay, either I need longer arms or I need to get him to tweak the contacts. Right, so then he cheated it in. So now I can read the text, I can read my phone, everything. But on out there at a certain distance, it gets a little fuzzy. And he looked at me and he said, "It's just the way it is, you know." And then he said, "How old are you?" "None of your business." This is when it happens. Okay. Well, all right. Well, okay. Makes me average then, I guess. But our outer self is wasting away. There are other things. You know, as you age, your outer self wastes away. And then if you have endured a lot of suffering, you've endured pain, that can have an effect on you. You find people who've gone through very deep seasons of grief, and it looks that you see the wear and the tear on them because of the grief or pain or suffering that they have endured. But Paul says, don't lose heart, because the inner self outlives the outer self. What's going on inside of us, even in those seasons, but not just despite the seasons of suffering. Get this. Not just despite the seasons of suffering is our inner self renewed, but because of that suffering, our inner self is renewed. Pain and suffering are powerful tools to affect our inner lives, to strengthen us, to grow us closer to Christ, to make us more like Him, to make us less and less reliant upon ourselves and our own abilities, and more show us how dependent we are on Christ. And more we can recognize that in the midst of suffering. Paul says that inner self, that inner person that's being renewed, that daily renewal of our inner self, that person is going to outlive our outer person. Listen to Psalm 73. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The psalmist says, my flesh may fail. I may not be able to do certain things. I may fall short of the mark. My heart may fail. I just may want to give up hope. But God is the strength of my heart. Not his own heart. God is the strength of his heart. Not his own power, his own ability, his own wisdom. But God's the strength of his heart. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. This is one of the things that Paul prays for the church at Ephesus. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. Where? In your inner being. That's where we're strengthened. Now, God may strengthen our hands to do things. God may strengthen our minds to do things. God may strengthen our emotions to do things. But he says he's strengthening you in your inner being. It's like no matter what crashes against you, it's like the strength of God is like a steel I-beam running through the core of who you are. It is something that is foundational. It is within you. And no matter what may come, no matter what may batter your outer self, your inner self is going to remain firm if your inner self is dependent upon Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. The outer self isn't going to outlive that inner self. The inner self is going to outlive the outer self. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul writes, "And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." How is our inner self renewed? It's renewed in knowledge. In knowledge of what? In knowledge after the image of his creator. In knowledge after the image of Christ. In the knowledge of Christ. This is how we are renewed. This is how we are refreshed. This is how we are reawakened and revived. Whenever we are seeking the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And by knowledge, we don't just mean head knowledge. We don't just mean, oh, I can win a Bible trivia contest. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about intimate, true, personal knowledge. To know Christ, to have a relationship with Christ, and then to know not about him, but to know him and be known by him. That is the way that we are transformed. And that is the way that our inner self grows stronger and stronger and stronger, even though our outer self is growing weaker and weaker and weaker. I remember my grandfather. My grandfather, as he was progressing, kind of, he was getting sick, and he was kind of nearing the end of his life. His inner self in those moments shone through in a way that was just remarkable. I always thought my grandfather was the man who was the most like Jesus I'd ever met. And still to this day, I'd say that. But as that outer self started wasting away even more and more, his inner self shone through in a way that I had never seen it quite like that before. His outer self was dying and wasting away. But that inner self, that eternal part of him, that was seen all the more clearer because it is going to outlive the outer self. Let me ask you a question. Now we know it's important to, you know, to be presentable in society, but some of our jobs have, you may have dress codes and stuff like that, and that's not a bad thing, right? But are we spending as much time allowing God to renew our inner self as we spend working on our outer self? Because we spend a lot of time in society and in our culture working on our outer self, and there's nothing wrong with that. But are we as concerned or more concerned about the condition of our inner self as compared to our outer self? The inner self is going to outlive our outer self. The inner self needs far more attention because it is eternal. The outer self isn't. Paul says, don't lose heart, because that inner self of ours is going to outlive the outer self. Secondly, the heavy glory outweighs the light affliction. The heavy glory outweighs the light affliction. Look at verse 17. Here's the other contrast. For this light momentary affliction. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about all the stuff he suffered. This light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Now, I know if you're in the middle of pain, you say, this doesn't feel very light. This feels heavy. And you say, he says it's light momentary affliction. Well, it doesn't even feel momentary. For some of you, say, this has been going on. It's been going on for weeks, months, maybe even years. I've been enduring this. I've been up under this pressure. I've been under this burden. And I can't seem to shake it. I can't say that that's momentary. Well, by comparison, yes. Momentary in light of eternity, yes. Momentary in the light of our entire lives, probably, yes. Momentary in light of what faces us, absolutely. But Paul says that heaviness of glory, the eternal weight of glory. And that word weight, we're using it in the sense that when someone says their words carry a lot of weight. It's important. It's heavy. It's got power behind it. It's got weight behind it. It has meaning behind it. He says, this eternal weight of glory, this heavy, important, forever kind of glory that is being worked in us is so far beyond all comparison when we try to stack up all the light, momentary afflictions on the other side and try to compare the two. Well, it's easy for Paul to say. Well, no, not really. If you read the list of some of the things that Paul went through. He mentions this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, a few chapters over. Let me just read this to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. So he got, 5 times he's been beaten with 40 lashes less one. Less one, that was, 40 lashes was supposed to be the amount. But in case they miscounted, they decided they would just knock off one. And that way they would be safe because, you didn't want to go over. So, even in that, you can be kind of legalistic, right? So then it was like, well, I mean, was that 40 or was that 40, 41? Well, let's just go to 39 and we don't have to worry about it. So 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. So Paul just gives this list. And he says, these are all the things I've been through. These are all the things I go through on a regular basis. And then he adds at the end, I love that. And on top of all that, I'm concerned about the churches. And I'm thinking, goodness sake, Paul, I'm just the lead pastor of one church. And I know the pressing concerns that brings. I can't imagine he's got all these other things plus multiple churches to look after. And Paul says, I've got all these things going on. And you know what he calls that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Light, momentary affliction. I'm sorry, I don't think getting beaten by rods would be a light, momentary affliction. It may be momentary, but I don't feel real light. But Paul understands that you have to compare the weight of all of the afflictions, the weight of all the suffering, the weight of all the pain, with the glory that is being worked in us. Paul is saying, go ahead, stack them up. Stack up my shipwrecks. Stack up all the times I was beaten, imprisoned. All those cold, lonely nights. All those nights with hunger gnawing at my stomach. all those times where I'm in hiding because of my own countrymen or from people of other countries who are seeking to do me harm. Stack them all up, pile them all up. And then sprinkle all over the top all of my concern for all the churches that I'm praying for and that I'm trying to care for. Put all that on one side of it, and then on top of that, go ahead and throw some other people's stuff on top of there, and then stick your thumb on it and try to press it down, and compare that to the glory that God is working, and it can't compare because the glory, the eternal weight of glory, is always going to come up being far heavier than that. And it's true for our lives. Whatever it is that you're facing, stack it all up, pile it all up, and it doesn't come close. It can't even compare to the eternal weight of glory that God is working in us. Yeah, well, I don't see that right now. But we trust that. We have to trust that. We have to trust that that eternal weight, that heavy weight of glory, is far greater than all these light afflictions that we face. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Robert mentioned this morning. He alluded to it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And you may be sitting there today, and you may be saying, I don't feel like a conqueror. I don't even feel like a conqueror. And then Paul is saying that I'm more than a conqueror. I haven't even reached conqueror level yet. And Paul is saying I'm beyond that. Yes, because in Christ, the strength that he gives, through Christ, the glory that he's working, in Christ, the plan that he sees perfectly that we can't right now, we can trust that that is far greater than all of our pain, all of our affliction, all of our suffering, through all of our lives, all combined and wrapped up together. Now, let me just go ahead and say, I know that there's a thought that is, well, that's easy for you to say. That's easy for Paul to say. That's easy when certain people tell me this. This morning, I was sitting down here on the front row, and we were singing. Michelle was singing. And I just sense almost like God say, preach today to yourself 5 years ago. That's just kind of what I got. I just went silent. I just started praying down there. Just preach today. Get up and preach to yourself what you needed to hear 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I was going through a really kind of a difficult season. My father was dying, and work wasn't going well, and there were all sorts of other things. And then I was conflicted about where God was leading, and you know, God ultimately ended up calling me down here, but I didn't know that at the time that God was going to do that, and I was just in a lot of turmoil. And I needed to know then that eternal weight that God was working in me and is working in me is far greater than all those afflictions that I was facing. That's not to say that the afflictions don't hurt. Paul doesn't say, man, I got beaten with rods, and when I was being beaten, I was just like, this is nothing. No, that hurt. He's not floating out there shipwrecked and thinking like, might as well be in Maui. No, it's still a shipwreck. A shipwreck's a shipwreck, okay? Doesn't matter where it is. So Paul is not, he's not negating the fact that he experienced pain and discomfort. If nothing else, he's really highlighting that in 2 Corinthians 11. But he's saying, even though that's real, even though it hurt, even though it's uncomfortable, even though there was pain, it still can't compare. And some of you are facing that. Some of you have been through, you're going through some stuff right now, and you're saying, some of you came in here today, and you were sitting here today, and you're singing those songs or listening to some of these songs with a lump in your throat, hoping that the Lord God had something to tell you today from his word. I know you did, because I've been there. I've sat there. I've experienced that. like, Lord God, I don't even want. There have been times in the past that I'd show up at service and I would think, oh, Lord, I just need you. I just need to hear the pastor say something. I just need your word to speak. I just need something because I even had a really hard time just getting out of bed this morning to get here. And so, Lord, I'm just begging you just to speak. Some of you just need to hear a hope that as long as there's breath, there's still hope and God still has a plan for you. Listen, some of you want to give up. And let me just go ahead and tell you, he has not put you on a shelf, period. Don't believe that lie. You have not been placed on a shelf. God hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't stowed you away and lost you like a spare set of keys. That's not what he's done. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what he wants to do. And if he's placed you in a holding pattern right now, you just sit tight and stay close to him until he decides to break you out of that. But don't try to get out on your own terms, by your own way. That just usually makes a mess. Speaking from somebody who's been there and done that multiple times. But God hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't. If you're his kid, he hasn't forgotten you. And by the way, he still has a plan for you. How do you know that, Dustin? Because you woke up this morning and you still have breath. And as long as there's breath, there's hope. And as long as you have breath, he's got a plan. So you sit tight, you stay close, and recognize that whatever he's doing right now in you, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the rain, in the midst of the sorrow, in the midst of the grief, in the midst of the discomfort, is important. Because it is through that he's going to renew you in a way that he wouldn't otherwise, that you wouldn't know otherwise. This is an opportunity for you to know him in a way that you would not otherwise know him. He's giving you that opportunity. You will know him in a way that you might not otherwise know him. I'm reminded in John chapter 11 when Lazarus dies. Jesus waits around before he goes and he shows up. And then he shows up. And the sisters of Lazarus say, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. If you'd just come when we call for you. You know what? Jesus wanted them to know him as the resurrection. They knew him as the healer. That's why they call for him. But Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. So Jesus is saying, listen, you knew me as the healer. You were asking me to come as the healer. I want you to know me as the resurrection. I want you to know me as not the one who just heals the sick. I want you to know me as the one who raises the dead. And it may be that the situation that's in your life right now that seems an awful lot like a tomb is an opportunity for God to let you see that he is still the one who raises the dead. So many times we want him to come and fix our problem before it gets too bad. And that's a wonderful thing. Sometimes God allows the problem to get bad enough for us to recognize that he is far beyond capable of doing what we were asking him to do to begin with. Sometimes he delays. He delays in his coming. He delays in his answer. Not because he doesn't love us, but because he wants us to know him in a way that we didn't know him before. So, you sit tight. None of that was in the notes. You sit tight and you wait for him to work that weight of glory in you that he needs to work through this light momentary affliction. The final contrast Paul gives is in verse 18. The things seen by faith outlast the things viewed by sight. So the inner self outlives the outer self. The heavy glory outweighs the light affliction, and the things seen by faith outlast the things viewed by sight. Look at verse 18. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. He says, we're not looking at the things that are seen. We're not looking at just our suffering, because these things are transient. They're passing. They're temporal. Well, we're looking to the things that are unseen. Those are the things he says here, the things that are unseen are eternal. He's walking by faith, not by sight. That's what we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by hearing from God and then responding to God in the right way. Remember, we talked about faith over and over again, that we receive a report from the Lord and then we respond in the right way. That's faith. So that's how we walk. We depend upon His word and then we respond to Him, not by sight. Well, how does it look? It doesn't look very hopeful. What does God say? How many times in the Bible do you find situations that do not seem hopeful? Yet God says something other. That's how we are to respond. Because the things that are seen by faith, they outlast the things that are just viewed by sight. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, or verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Do you live by that conviction? Do you live by that knowledge and that resolute conviction that even though I can't see it, if God says it, it's true? Even if I can't feel it, if God says it, it's true? Even if circumstances and situation seems to be running quite contrary to it, if God says it, then it goes this way, not that way, depending, even though I may be saying, but according to my sight, it looks one way, but according to God's word, it may look 180 degrees different. I have to depend upon what God says. In Hebrews chapter 11 also, later on, we just looked at verse 1. Later on in verse 13, sandwiched in between there is what's referred to as the Hall of Fame of Faith, where the writer of Hebrews just goes through and just lists a large number of people and how they exercised faith in God. And we find in chapter 11, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. Could that be said of you? That you may not have received what God has promised you just yet, but you've seen it from afar. You've seen it by faith, and you've trusted that God's going to give it and that God's going to do it. Because the things that are viewed by faith, they don't last. Or the things that are viewed by sight, they don't last. The things that are viewed by faith, those are the eternal things. We find in 1 John that all these things are passing away. 1 John chapter 2, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life are not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Where are you in the midst of your struggle? Are you depending on what you can see? Are you focusing so much on that light momentary affliction that you're not thinking about that eternal weight of glory that God is working in you? Are you so focused on the outer self that the inner self's being neglected? When we're in the middle of pain, this is I'm going to wrap up. Don't miss this. When we're in the middle of pain, and I don't mean this in a mean way. This is just the way that we normally do this. Pain forces us into this place where we are very tempted to start turning inward. And pain becomes so intensely self-centered and self-focused. Now, I'm not saying if you're going through pain, you're self-centered. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying you're going through pain because you are self-centered. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the temptation is we forget about everything else other than the pain. We forget about others. We forget about God. We forget about eternity. We forget about any other thing that needs to take place because we're so focused on the pain. Through Christ, we can see past the pain. We don't ignore it because it's a reality. Some of you are going through very painful things. I'm not saying, well, just ignore that pain. That's not healthy and that's not wise. But I am saying that through Christ, we can see past the pain. And we can see past it to what God wants to do, what God may be working in us, how God wants to transform us, not, again, despite the pain, but through the pain, so that He can be revealed in our lives in the way that we wouldn't know Him otherwise. So that we know Christ in a deeper way than we could ever know Him before. I've talked to people before who've gone through very intense seasons of pain and suffering. And those who are followers of Christ, I mean, we all get discouraged sometimes and we all get very down and out. But by and large, what I've heard from people who have gone through those seasons of pain, they'll say something like this. You know, it was worth it for what I learned about Jesus. It was worth it for how close I got to him. It was worth it for the way that he transformed me. It was worth it because my prayer life was enriched. It was worth it because it drove me deeper into his word. It was worth it because it made me see what I truly believed and what I was really going to depend upon when everything else was stripped away and all my other props were knocked out and I only had Jesus, and I found out through that he is absolutely, completely enough. And he'll do the same for you. You're in the midst of pain? Don't despair. There's still hope. You're in the midst of suffering? Don't lose heart, for these things are absolutely true. You're in the midst of a season where you can't see an end in sight. You stay put, because God has not put you on a shelf. He's not abandoned you. He hasn't neglected you. He hasn't forgotten you. He knows exactly where you are, and he has a point to his pain. Let's pray. Lord God, we recognize that in the midst of pain, it's really hard. In the midst of pain, when it's all that we see, and for people who wake up each morning in the midst of emotional or physical or spiritual pain, people who go through their day in the midst of vocational suffering or relational suffering, people who are just consumed with anxiety or worry, disappointment, depression. Father, it's heavy. And it's real. It's not just in our heads. It's real. The battle's real. The struggle's real. And so, Father, we recognize you have a point to that pain. You're working a weight of glory in us, Father. It's beyond anything we could imagine. So, Father, I pray that for each person here that's weighed down, that's burdened, with a heavy heart, for each person that had a thought this week, I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if I want to take another step. I don't know if I want to get back in the race. I don't know if I care anymore. I don't know if I should care anymore. Father, I pray that into those lives, you would breathe hope. You'd speak that hope. And that your word would be found to be completely and totally true, and that your power would be found to be completely and totally sufficient, and your plan would be seen as completely and totally perfect, even though it mystifies us at times. Father, I just ask that you, through the power of Christ, would strengthen hearts. And for those who right now, they're maybe not going through one of those seasons, Father, I pray that you would strengthen them for the seasons that are to come. And Father, we recognize the only way we can move through this pain and truly know you is through your Son Jesus, who bore the ultimate pain, who experienced the ultimate rejection as a sacrifice for our sins, who took upon himself the fullness of your wrath, God, so that we wouldn't have to if we're in him. But through the pain that we share, Father, I pray that you might use it to draw us closer to Christ. And Father, if there's anybody here that they've never made that decision to follow you, Father, I pray today would be the day they would say, I need Christ. I need to surrender control of my life to him and allow him to live through me. And just cry out to you that you would forgive them of their sins. You will. If we come to you in faith, you will. Depending upon you, you will. And that ultimate pain of facing your wrath we'll never face if we're in you. And then you renew us daily, day by day, to make us more like Christ. And we grow in that knowledge of you, even in the pain. So, Father, I pray you would do a work in us right now. If it's hope, if it's comfort, if it's conviction, if it's a challenge, whatever it is that you need to bring in each of our lives, we pray that you would do just that. And we pray that we would have the freedom to respond however it is that you lead us, not only in the next few moments, but in the days to come. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, glory, and honor. It's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.